In 2018, after six straight years on the road, The Who took a break as Pete Townshend wanted a year off. This left Roger Daltrey wondering what to do next, but he didn't have to wait long.
I got the offer from the arts circuit in America, where you go and play these places where they have arts things, subscription things, you know, and it was the offer to, would you like to do Tommy with our orchestra next year? And it was like, I don't know, 14 shows or something. And then you think, well, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing Tommy with an orchestra, but I don't just want to do it with an orchestra. So then you go back to them and say, yeah, but I want to do it with a rock band as well, because Tommy is a rock opera. I'm not interested in making Tommy a classical opera. That's not what it was about, and I don't want to go there. So then you go back to them and say, well, I want to do it with a rock band with it. So then they came back to me and said, well, OK, we'll go with that. And then I'm stuck with the problem. Where do I get the orchestrations? But it works out, you know, somehow or the other. You have to take chances. It was an enormous chance.
Roger did 13 shows with the orchestra, playing such iconic venues as Tanglewood in Massachusetts, Wolf Trap in Virginia, Forest Hill Stadium in Queens, New York, and the Bethel Wood Center for the Arts in Bethel, New York, where 49 years earlier, The Who added their name to a chapter in rock and roll history.
Well, Bethel was special because we were virtually 1,000 meters from the original stage of the Woodstock Festival. So to go back 49 years later and play the complete Tommy, which was a significant part of the show we actually played at Woodstock, was very special. And there's something about the night that I think is captured on this record, that it had an energy and a spirit about it, which was truly a spirit of 69. And I just thought, well, this deserves to be out there, you know. It feels like Tommy's come of age. And in some ways, Pete's original concept of it needed to have 50 years and add this to it to kind of grow up. But in my opinion, it's one of the best operas ever written. It's a real opera with a narrative that has meat and potatoes, and not just a glossy little sprinkling of very sparse lyrics to link a lot of pleasant melodies together, you know, which is what most of grand opera is.
The result of that night, which was the first show of the tour, by the way, has been captured for release on CD and vinyl, as well as digitally. Hi, I'm Dan Meir. Over the next hour, you'll hear Tommy like you've never heard it before, along with anecdotes from Roger, as well as Tommy's creator, Pete Townshend. Welcome to Roger Daltrey, The Who's Tommy Orchestral All Access. But before conductor Keith Levinson takes his place behind the podium, Roger would like to say something.
As Keith Moon would have said, show a little respect, it's a f***ing opera.
Captain walked in, come home, his unborn child never known him. Believing mission with a number of men, don't expect to see him again.
From Roger Daltrey, The Who's Tommy Orchestral, we heard It's a Boy into 1921 and ending with Amazing Journey. While 1967 is best known for ushering in the summer of love, it was also the year that the phrase concept album became more popular, thanks in part to the Beatles' groundbreaking Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album and the Moody Blues' Days of Future Past. A year later, in 1968, we were introduced to the term rock opera when the Pretty Things released SF Sorrow. They've long since claimed that that album influenced Pete Townshend to write Tommy, but Pete always denies that.
The whole thing was created in a studio, which was strange. And it was Kit Lambert's idea. I mean, he was our manager at that time. It was his idea to do a rock opera. And Pete had this one song which was called Amazing Journey, about this, what it would be like to be deaf, dumb and blind and just live your life through sensing, for all the other senses in your body. And Kit developed that one song into, you know, literally talked Pete round the whole thing. It was amazing to watch the process, but for the band it was very weird because like we didn't ever get to be in on these meetings, so it was all these kind of weird songs coming in every day and these strange demos, and we were trying to make it all work. But when it was put together, then obviously the band took it and made it again something else. I don't think it ever crossed our minds, what's this got to do with The Who? It was, how do we make this work for The Who?
Did you ever see the faces of the children? They get so excited. Waking up on Christmas morning, hours before the winter sun's ignited. They believe in dreams and all they mean, including heaven's generosity. Peeping round the doors to see what was...
Christmas, from the new album by Roger Daltrey, The Who's Tommy Orchestral. This album was recorded last year in Bethel, New York, at the Bethel Wood Center for the Arts, on the grounds of the original Woodstock Festival, which, back in 1969, featured The Who. However, when Roger decided this show was worthy of release, he ran into a problem.
I wanted to use the original orchestra, which was the Hudson Valley Philharmonic, but they asked for such an extortionate amount of money to be on the record, I had to take them off and keep the band underneath and then go and record a new orchestra in Budapest, where they're very cheap and we're very happy to be on the record. So, sorry Hudson Valley Philharmonic, but you live in cloud cuckoo land.
Although The Who's Tommy grew out of the song Amazing Journey, the character's ability to play a mean pinball wasn't even part of the original story. Its inclusion happened because Pete Townshend became friends with influential British rock journalist Nick Cohen.
Nick and I used to go and play pinball in Soho in London. And he was working on a novel at the time called Arthur, the Pinball Queen. And it was a religion to him for about a year, you know. Pinball, this is what life's about. The whole thing is it's like the universe, you know, atoms colliding, you know, all very, very tongue-in-cheek. And he was also the music critic on The Guardian or The Observer or something, I can't remember which. He heard that we were working on this rock opera. So one day we were playing pinball and he said, you're working on a rock opera, Kit tells me. And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, it sounds pretentious to me. Does it sound like Little Richard? So I said, no. I said, you know I don't like Little Richard. He said, well, you know. He said, I can't promise you a good review. So he said, it sounds horrible to me and I haven't even heard it. He said, what's it about? So I said, it's, you know, my mind's racing. So it's about this deaf, dumb and blind kid, autistic child. It sort of turns out that his deaf, dumb and blindness is autism, and music and both releases him from his autism, but also carries him forward into a kind of a super spiritual ecstasy. And he went, what's any of this got to do with pinball? So I said, ah, well, after he's actually reached super normal spiritual ecstasy, of course he becomes an international pinball champion. He said, good review coming. So I ran home and I had to write this song that day and get into the studio as quickly as possible because he was coming on the Friday. I'm writing this song and I used to be the young boy who played the silver ball, deaf, dumb and blind kid. Shaw plays a mean pinball. This is ridiculous. I'm thinking this is more ridiculous than the original idea. I just don't, the two things just don't fit together at all. But, you know, we'll stick it on the record, get the good review, and then we'll take it off or something. Anyway, we did it. We recorded it. And he came in and he went away. And the headline was something like, Tommy, a masterpiece.
But Pete and Roger weren't laughing when The Who played the song at the Fillmore East in New York City in the spring of 1969.
The first night we played Tommy at the Fillmore East, the building next door burnt down. And we were blissfully unaware of it. I mean, I thought, blimey, they're smoking a bit heavy in here tonight. I don't know what grass they're smoking tonight, but it's a bit it's a bit heavy on the old throat. But we got to Pinball Wizard and a guy ran on stage in blue jeans and just grabbed my microphone away from me. And I looked round him and grabbed it back and kept singing. You know, I thought it was a fan. And then he wrestled with me and took the microphone off of me, and Pete kind of did a Chuck Berry duck walk across the stage and kicked the bloke in the balls and gave me back my mic. And it turned out that the guy was an undercover cop. His story was that he showed us his badge and everything else. You know, we had 3,000 odd people as witnesses that he didn't. But his story was he showed us his badge and we assaulted a police officer and everything else. But basically all he was trying to do was tell everybody to get the hell out of there because the blaze was going to catch fire any minute, you know. So the whole thing was quite funny. We both got arrested. We hid up with some good friends of ours and we reported to the police station the next day. We spent an afternoon in the station and then we had to go to court. Pete pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor of some sort, I don't know. A palm was greased. But why the hell we were there in the first place, I'll never know.
Roger Daltrey, his band and orchestra with Pinball Wizard on our all-access look at Daltrey's new album, The Who's Tommy Orchestral. Performing with an orchestra was nothing new for Roger, but for this tour, he had very explicit instructions.
I've seen many rock bands with orchestras, but mostly the orchestras are playing something that could be played on a synthesizer. They're doing pads, all the strings are doing this. I don't want an orchestra to do that. I want an orchestra to be dynamic. I want them to be melodic. I want them to be surprising. And I want them to really push the music to a different level. And my instructions to the arranger, that guy called David Campbell, who is the father of Beck, he's a really cool guy. And my instructions to him is that whatever is on the original record, that has to remain sacrosanct. And you can orchestrate that on instruments, but if you hear anything that you want to add in between that, that you feel can elevate it in today's world, anything other than a pad, you know, the boring stuff, please feel free to do it. We'll be having to play quieter on the stage just because orchestras are not easy to mic. But out the front, you won't notice a difference. It'll be in your face. Loud, ballsy, cool music.
He seems to be completely unreceptive. Tests I've been in show, no sense at all. His eyes react to lie, the dark detective. He is the killer answer to your call.
See me, feel me, touch me.
Go to the Mirror, from Roger Daltrey on his new album, The Who's Tommy Orchestral. In the story of Tommy, that song is sung from the point of view of a doctor who tells Tommy's parents that there's nothing wrong with their son and that all his problems are psychosomatic. In the 1975 movie version of Tommy, Jack Nicholson was the doctor, and Tommy, of course, was played by Roger Daltrey.
It was impossible for me not to become Tommy to the audience. Absolutely impossible, because in those days I used to sing the whole thing. And obviously when I did the film, people found it very difficult to disassociate me with Tommy. I still get problems with that today. I mean, I still live with that today. I'm still very proud of it, and I don't really give a toss if people like it or not. I mean, I had a good time doing it.
A song Pete Townsend says was inspired by the Rolling Stones' Street Fighting Man, that's I'm Free.
How can we follow?
It came out of an adversity which was partly financial.
It paid the rent.
That's next, when Roger Daltrey, The Who's Tommy Orchestral All Access, winds its way back in just a few minutes. Thanks for coming back to our all-access celebration of Roger Daltrey's new album, The Who's Tommy Orchestral. I'm Dan Neer.
And this is Roger Daltrey, and I'd like to introduce you to one of the greatest songwriters in the history of rock and roll. And he's not a bad guitar player either, Pete Townshend.
Tommy was a very, very kind of honest, direct piece of work. It came out of an adversity which was partly financial, but also partly emotional.
It paid the rent. Tommy paid the rent, it's true. Really true. Before Tommy, we were flat broke, penniless, and in debt to the tune of what would be today millions and millions of pounds. And Tommy paid the rent. But it also, it obviously had other effects, but I mean, that gets all too serious.
Roger Daltrey and his take on The Who's sensation off his new album, The Who's Tommy Orchestral, recorded last year in Bethel, New York. While the story of Tommy was created by Pete Townshend and told on The Who's double album, Roger Daltrey felt that he needed to take it a step further, bringing the character to life on the stage.
I felt to present it on stage and stop it being a series of three-minute singles, a character had to be developed in the visual, could be kind of mesmeric and keep it together. So the three-minute thing broke down and you'd listen to what that character was going through and what he was saying. And you were carried through the story. And that's when I, you know, grew my hair long and all the stupid things I did, you know. Wore chamois leathers from the garage and and created a look that became iconic, which was identifiable to Tommy. And that character's voice has to really push this home. So not only did it enhance what was to become an iconic look, it enhanced my voice because I had to develop much more that was within my voice that I'd never worked on. And that's where I really gained my power as a singer, was from singing Tommy. But again, after like kind of 4 years of that, I couldn't wait to break away from it, cut my hair off, and get rid of the chamois.
Outside the house, Mr. Simpson announced that Sally couldn't go to the meeting. He went on cleaning his blue Rolls Royce, and she ran inside weeping. She got to a room, tears splashed the picture of the new Messiah. She picked up a pick of her father's life and threw it on the fire. Down in her heart, she and Tommy were worlds apart.
With vocals by Simon Townshend, Pete's younger brother, that's Sally Simpson, on Roger Daltrey's new album, The Who's Tommy Orchestral. While Tommy, The Who's first rock opera, tells the story of a deaf, dumb, and blind boy, Roger says that each song also stands on its own.
They work as individual songs, but equally, that was really the genius of our management at the time, Kit Lambert, whose father was a conductor, an English conductor and composer called Constant Lambert. He was founder of the Sadler's Wells Ballet. And Kit, because of his upbringing, was always trying to get rock music to kind of grow up and realise that it could be much more than a three-minute single. Even though, in some ways, the album is kind of full of three-minute songs, it didn't matter. They do tell a narrative all the way through. It's a brutal narrative. It's a narrative, in my opinion, of the human condition. We are all potentially Tommy. We are all potentially Uncle Ernie. We are all potentially the cousin Kevin. So the whole thing is, they're just metaphors for the human condition. You know, it depends how your life crunches and how you actually deal with the situations you're faced with.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. Yeah.
you know where to put the cork.
We're Not Gonna Take It, the song that brought Tommy, The Who's 1969 album, and their first rock opera to a close. It's also the final song on Roger Daltrey's new album, The Who's Tommy Orchestral, and the final song of our show.
It was all very kind of hit and miss. We would discuss things, and then overnight people come in with a demo or something, and then we'd try it, and then we'd add harmonies to it, add melodies to it. John Entwistle was given the job to write the characters about the dark side of humanity, which was Cousin Kevin and Uncle Ernie. Keith, being the Keith he was, came up with the idea that Tommy should end up in the holiday camp, because life is a holiday camp, which is kind of how Keith Moon saw life, and he treated it. At the time we were doing it, we didn't know whether it would be a hit, we didn't know whether it would be anything, we didn't know whether it would be an album. As it turned out to be a double album, and it was an enormous hit. And it came out at a time, particularly in America, where the youth of America were really being hammered by the Vietnam War, conscription being sent off to Vietnam. So I think it was a kind of spiritual awakening in some way. And it captured people's imagination, and off it went.
And off we go. But not before thanking Jamie Hartley at Universal Music Enterprises and, of course, Roger Daltrey. Roger Daltrey, The Who's Tommy Orchestral, is available on CD, vinyl, and digitally. This exclusive all-access broadcast was produced by Near Perfect Productions for Polydor UME and is copyrighted 2019, all rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producer. I'm Dan Neer. Thanks for listening.
Ooh.